We are looking this evening at the prophecy of Joel at chapter 2, verses 28 to 32. And as we come to God's word, we look to Him for help. Let's pray. Our Father in heaven, we may be separated from the psalmist by thousands of years, and yet we are as human as he was, and we live in the same sinful world in which he lived. And this evening we come to thee, the one true and living God. We come with all our anxieties and our fears. We come with all our confusions and our perplexities. But we come and we come to Thee, for Thou hast the words of eternal life. Thou art able to cause us to drink from the fountain of living waters. Thou alone art able to teach and to satisfy us. And so we come in the spirit of penitence and of humility. And we pray that Thou wouldst open our eyes this evening, that we may see angels ascending and descending from heaven, and cause us to see that there is in our midst one like unto the Son of Man. O cleanse us and receive us, for we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Previously, as we have studied together the first two chapters of the prophecy of Joel, we have seen that the people of God in the ancient church had sinned against the Most High, and God is now sending upon them the consequences of their sin. He sends them a swarm of locusts that devours and devastates the land. And when they remain unrepentant, he sends them an army from the north that destroys their land, kills their children, and takes them away as captives. But God is gracious, and he constantly calls his people back to himself. And when they return to him, they find him to be a forgiving God. He restores to them all the years that the locusts have eaten. The God who brought judgment upon his own people is the very same God who helps and who rescues them. But as he speaks to them of the physical prosperity that they will enjoy, he points them forward to the spiritual blessings that they will enjoy. The rain that he will send to them, the physical rain that will fertilize their land, is only a token of grace that points forward to the spiritual Messiah who will deliver them from their bondage to sin. And this is why we are told in verse 28, "And it shall come to pass afterward." In the immediate future, there was the coming of the rain, the fertility and the prosperity. But in the distant future, there was the pouring out of my spirit on all flesh. The rain was important, but there was something more important that was to come. The physical blessings were wonderful, but they pointed forward to the supreme blessing that would come with the arrival of the Lord Jesus Christ. And that is important for us to recognize, that the God whom we worship is the God who is able to bless us physically, but he blesses us especially in the spiritual richness that we enjoy. And this is where we part company from those who are of a charismatic tendency, even within the Christian church. And you will hear them on the internet, on the television, or in CDs and tapes. And we have to be extremely careful to recognize that God's blessing upon his people is not only physical, it is supremely spiritual. That the goodness of God is not only material, it is the richness that we enjoy in the spiritual realm. Those who are inclined towards charismatic teachings emphasize almost exclusively on the material and the physical. The healing has to be physical. The blessings have always to be material. It is wealth and health and riches in this world. But the Bible continually reminds us that although God does bless us physically and materially, all these good things are nothing when they are compared to the spiritual blessings that God seeks to bestow upon his people. And I wonder where you and I stand, even as Christians this evening. What do we pray for? Just remind yourself of the prayers that we have made even this past week. Were they prayers that were spiritual? Were we craving for spiritual blessings that are ours in the heavenly places through Jesus Christ? Or are we apt simply to pray for a good house, for a good job, for good food, and all the physical and the material things? And if it is only the physical and the material that we are praying for, then we are missing the supreme blessing. Or even as we were saying this morning, when we look at the Church of Jesus Christ, how do we perceive her? What do we think of her? And how do we assess and how do we weigh her? What are we looking for? What is our definition of a good or a growing church? Why? My definition, my natural definition, is that of a big, of a rich church with a beautiful building. But that simply reveals how unspiritual my thinking is, and how unspiritual and how unholy and how worldly my desires are. But if you and I are Christians, we enjoy the physical and the material blessings that God bestows upon us. But these things do not satisfy us. We look for the spiritual blessings. And so the Lord reminds his people that the rain that will fall upon them is not the ultimate blessing that God will bestow upon His people. In verse 28, "And it shall come to pass afterward that I will pour out my Spirit on all flesh. Your sons and your daughters shall prophesy. Your old men shall dream dreams and your young men shall see visions." Let me just point out what we were looking at this morning. It is there in verse 28. "It shall come to pass afterward in the time of Messiah." And you see this again in chapter 3 at verse 1. "For behold, in those days and at that time." When God comes to visit His people, these are the blessings that He bestows upon them. And we notice in verse 28 and 29 that there is the gift of the Spirit of God. It is not something that we get from God. It is something that God gives to us. For He says, "I will pour out my Spirit on all flesh." As the rain falls upon the land, so God will cause the rain of His Spirit to fall upon the souls of His people. There is a freshness to the Spirit of God. There is an abundance that comes with the Spirit of God. It is an overwhelming outpouring of this gift of God that is called my Spirit. It is the gift of the Holy Spirit. And this gift, you notice, is given to all flesh. That is, to both Jew and Gentile. Ethnicity no longer divides the Church of Jesus Christ. If they are not divided by ethnicity, neither are they divided by gender. For we are told in verse 28, "Your sons and your daughters shall prophesy." No ethnic division, no gender division, no age division either. "Your old men shall dream dreams, and your young men shall see visions." There is no social distinction either. For in verse 29, "And also on my men servants and on my maid servants, I will pour out my Spirit in those days." Both high-born as well as the slaves, all who are the people of God, will enjoy this gift of God, that is the Holy Spirit. There is only one church consisting of both Jews and Gentiles, of men and women, of adults and children, of managers and professionals, as well as cleaners and servants. There are no social distinctions in the church, no gender, no ethnic divisions either, no age divisions that separate us. How different this is from the world, where in a culture that celebrates youth, we look down on old people. We see them as a burden upon society. Not so in the Christian church. We need both the old and the young. Our children are not just the future of the church, they are the present of the church. And in any good church, there must always be both men and women. And a good church, an authentic community of Jesus Christ, must always reflect the demographics of the society in which it is placed. And so in this context, it was for both Jews and Gentiles. And if in Stornoway We have people of different culture, of different countries, of different tongues than the Church of Jesus Christ. And if ours is the Church of Jesus Christ, our congregation must reflect the diversity of our tongue. Because Jesus Christ and His Church consists of all flesh. Sons as well as daughters, old men as well as young men servants as well as maid servants. The Spirit of Jesus Christ, the Holy Spirit, is poured out on all flesh. But perhaps you are wondering, what is so special or significant about this? Was the Holy Spirit not given in the Old Testament? Of course it was. Every quickening work of God within the human heart, every conviction of sin, every conversion towards God in Christ Jesus is an act of the Holy Spirit. It is the Holy Spirit who makes us Christians. It is the same Holy Spirit of God that made them Christians in the Old Testament too. But there is a change. In the Old Testament, it seems that the Spirit of God was given in a special sense to those who were called into the sacred ministry of the theocracy. It was given to prophets, it was given to priests, it was given to the judges, it was given to the men who were called into the leadership of the church. But now, with the death and the resurrection and the ascension of Jesus Christ, there are no longer such divisions. The Holy Spirit in all its freshness and its fullness is given to every Christian individual. And that means that you are in this church because God has placed you here for a purpose. And I am in this congregation because God has brought me here in His sovereign will. There are some things in this church that can only be done by you and only by you, because only you have been gifted in that way. The Spirit of holiness and the gift of the Holy Spirit has been given to you to enrich this congregation, to bless these people, and to serve God in this congregation. You have special gifts. Others have special gifts, and I have unique gifts. And we have all been brought together in this place so that you and I may build each other up in the most holy faith. And so let us do away with this thought that the minister is the most important person in the congregation. He isn't. I am not. The elders are not the most important people. Every one of us as Christians in this church, every one of us is important. Every one of us is significant because every one of us, each one of us, has been bought with the blood of the Son of God. And so in the Church of Jesus Christ, we cannot look down on other people because of their social standing, because of their ethnicity, because of their age, or because of their gender. There is one body, and it is that of Jesus Christ, one church, and you and I are all members of it. So the first spiritual blessing is the gift of the Holy Spirit. And secondly, it is the gift of salvation itself. We see this in verses 30 to 32. And I will show wonders in the heavens and in the earth, blood and fire and pillars of smoke. The sun shall be turned into darkness and the moon into blood before the coming of the great and terrible day of the Lord. Peter, in his sermon on the day of Pentecost, makes reference to these verses, and he tells his audience that God has worked wonders through Jesus Christ, that God has given signs that Jesus is the Christ, that Jesus is the Messiah, the Savior of the world. The signs were given then, but all these wonders in heaven and in earth, it seems to me, will be given at the end of time, as we approach the second coming of Jesus Christ. Then we shall see increasingly wonders in the heavens and in the earth, blood and fire and pillars of smoke. The sun shall be turned into darkness and the moon into blood before the coming of the great and the terrible day of the Lord. Revelation chapter 6 makes mention of these things. The Lord Jesus Christ in Matthew chapter 24 refers to this too. And in 2 Peter chapter 3, we are told that there will be the creation of the new heavens and the new earth, and the elements will melt with fervent heat, and all that is old will pass away. This then is the sign of the second coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. And what will happen on that day? We are told at the end of verse 31 that it will be a great and terrible day of the Lord. Terrifying because it will be the day of judgment. It will be the day when all of us will have to stand before the judge of all the earth. And the day when all those who are not in Christ Jesus will be condemned to an eternity in hell. Without God, without hope, without friends, without family, without grace, without mercy, without joy, without peace, and without health, without love for all eternity. Sir, madam, when you stand before that great white throne on that day, what shall be your eternity? It is a terrifying day because it is the day of judgment. But verse 32 tells us that that same day is a day of salvation for the people of God. And it shall come to pass that whoever calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved. For in Mount Zion and in Jerusalem there shall be deliverance, as the Lord has said, among the remnant whom the Lord calls. All those who are in Christ Jesus, all those who have called upon His name for their salvation, they shall be saved. And you notice the tension in verse 32. We as individuals have a duty to call upon the name of God. And yet at the end of verse 32, it is God who calls us by name. That means that none is with an excuse. We all have a duty to call upon the name of God. And when we do, we shall find our salvation in Him. And so there are these spiritual blessings that come to us through the death and the resurrection of Jesus Christ. There are the material blessings, but there are supremely the spiritual blessings that we experience through Christ Jesus. We have the gift of the Holy Spirit. that breaks down all human divisions and builds us together into one body, into the one church of Jesus Christ. You'll not get this in any other human society, only in the church of Jesus Christ. And the second gift is the completion of our salvation, that on the day of reckoning, you and I, if we are found in Him, will avoid an eternity of spiritual death, and we shall be received into glory. How can we be sure of all this? What does it mean to belong to Jesus Christ? I conclude with this. In verse 32 it says, "For in Mount Zion and in Jerusalem there shall be deliverance." There is only one point of escape. It is Mount Zion. It is Jerusalem. Now there are some people who believe that this refers to the physical Jerusalem, to the physical Mount Zion that is in the land of Israel today. And that is quite possible. But my own view, and within this particular context, I think it refers, especially the grammar indicates, that it refers not to a physical Jerusalem, but to a spiritual Jerusalem. You remember in Hebrews chapter 12, the writer writes to the early New Testament church, and he reminds them of the ancient church who came to Jerusalem and who came to Mount Sinai and who were terrified by the presence of God. And then he looks at the New Testament Christians. He looks at you and me, and he says that you and I come to a heavenly Jerusalem, to an innumerable company of angels, and we come to Jesus Christ, the judge of all mankind. We come with all the saints in heaven. In other words, to belong to Jesus Christ is simply to belong to the church of Jesus Christ. To belong to Jesus Christ is to belong to the body of Jesus Christ, and the only body that Jesus Christ has left on earth is the church that calls upon the name of Jesus Christ. You know, church membership is not optional. It is a command. It should be the desire of every true follower of Jesus Christ, that you and I would want to belong to this heavenly Jerusalem, because it is in Mount Zion, it is in Jerusalem, that men and women and boys and girls will find their escape from the judgment that is to come. And so if you are not yet a member, let me encourage you to pray and to keep on praying that the Lord will give you the grace and the confidence to make a public profession of your love for Him. Why should it be so difficult to publicly profess our love for Him when He publicly professed His love for us by dying on a cruel cross? But if you and I are Christians, how common and how familiar it is in our own experience that so often we are frustrated by the church. We are discouraged by the behavior of people in the church, even by the powers that be in the church. And sometimes we want to cut ourselves away from the church. If we can, we want to stay away from the means of grace. That is not the way of escape. The way of escape is to be found in the Church of Jesus Christ. And if you and I are struggling with these things, then let us come to Him. Let us approach His throne of grace. Let us confess our sins. And let us ask for grace and more grace to continue in the Church of Jesus Christ. This and this alone is the place of healing, of reconciliation, and of salvation. May God bless His word to our hearts. We conclude by singing from Psalm 68. Psalm 68, and we are singing here verses 18 to 20. Psalm 68, and this tells us about the ascension of Jesus Christ and the gifts that He has procured for His people and the gifts that He has given to them. Thou hast, O Lord most glorious, ascended up on high, and in triumph victorious led captive captivity. Thou hast received gifts for men, for such as did rebel, yea, even for them that God the Lord in midst of them might dwell. Blessed be the Lord who is to us of our salvation God, who daily with His benefits us plenteously doth load. He of our salvation is the God, who is our God most strong, and unto God the Lord from death the issues do belong. Psalm 68 verses 18 to 20, and we stand to sing to God's praise. for the times that we have refused to meditate upon these high and holy things. We thank Thee for the gift of the Holy Spirit. We thank Thee that His presence makes our bodies the temple of the living God. Help us not to grieve or to silence Him. And we pray that His working within us would make us respectful of those who come from different cultures and different social backgrounds, those who are different in age, and those, we pray also, who are different from us in our genders. Help us to see ourselves as part of the Church of Jesus Christ, and continue to teach us what it means to belong to Thee. We thank Thee for the work of salvation that Thou hast begun in our hearts already. And we thank Thee that the One who has begun this good work is able to keep it until the day of Jesus Christ. Sanctify us in this life, and glorify us in the life that is yet to come. For we ask it through Jesus Christ. The Lord bless thee and keep thee. The Lord make His face to shine upon thee and be gracious unto thee. The Lord lift up His countenance upon thee and give thee peace. Amen.